Hi, I'm Ben Miller from University Relations here at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and we're a proud sponsor of WISP Politics and WISP Business Podcasts.
You're listening to WISP Business, the podcast, Wisconsin's business news source. Now, here's your host.
Hi, everybody. This is Alex Moe here for WISP Business, the podcast. Today, I'm joined by returning guest, Greg Pfeiffer, founder and CEO of Shine Technologies. Greg, thank you so much for coming back on the podcast.
Yeah, great. And thanks, Alex, for having me.
Absolutely. So for listeners who aren't familiar with Shine Technologies, I'd encourage them to listen to the previous episode since today we're going to dive right into it. So last month, your company and a business called Orano signed a memorandum of understanding to work together on a U.S. pilot plant for with technology recycling used nuclear fuel from light water reactors. Hoping you can kind of explain, first of all, the significance of that agreement and you know, what it means in practical terms.
Yeah, so it's a really big deal. I think as we look at climate change and our progress, I guess, in combating climate change, it hasn't been nearly as fast as we need it to. And I think there's increasing acceptance that nuclear energy is probably one of the most powerful tools we have for actually meeting our climate goals. In particular, fission energy, which we already know works, and we know we can, you know, build plants and get a return on investment in sort of an economical way. Is something that probably has to be part of it, and in a major way. Nuclear energy fission in particular has two really big challenges. One is cost, and we're getting better, we're practicing, and we're learning how to build these plants in the USA again. The other is waste, right? And waste is always brought up as, sure, but what are you going to do with this waste that lasts, you know, a million years after you produce the product? Doesn't that seem like a pretty long time to have to deal with the waste stream? And indeed it is. So we've taken it upon ourselves to position ourselves in the middle of what I think will be a rebirth of a U.S. recycling capability for nuclear waste. And it turns out that recycling nuclear waste can not only reduce the volume of the waste stream, by about a factor of 20. So reducing the volume of the waste stream down to about 5%, you can also mine valuable materials out of the waste stream that can be used for society and have purpose in society. And you can recycle things like plutonium that have tremendous amount of energy content in them. And you can do that today with technology that's far more proliferation safe than what's been used in the past. So one of the biggest excuses for not doing recycling in the U.S. Historically has been it gives you the same capabilities you would need to isolate plutonium from reactor fuel to make nuclear bombs. But people have spent a lot of time developing technologies to mitigate that. And there's all kinds of reasons why I think that's not a big risk today that we could, that could be a whole nother podcast. from our standpoint, increasing public acceptance and increasing public will for nuclear energy means we need to have a solution to the waste problem. It just so happens that we've developed all of the right skills to be able to deliver this in the US via the building behind me here, which is the Chrysalis. So our large-scale medical isotope production facility looks exactly like and is licensed exactly like a nuclear waste recycling facility would be. So same part of the NRC Code of Federal Regulations, same sort of building techniques, same type of hazard analysis, same type of processes. And so we feel uniquely positioned in the U.S. To be able to do this and do it cost effectively. And I think that's what Orano recognized, is we're this disruptor in nuclear, bringing cost effective capabilities and rapid delivery to an industry that's really struggled with that. I think what we see in them is a company that has successfully recycled nuclear waste in France for most of Europe, some for Japan, and some from other countries as well, and done it really, really well with an incredible operational record at large scale. If you look at the amount of waste that Orano has recycled over its tenure as a company, it's half the US stockpile. So we're talking about a really meaningful amount of waste. We want to learn from them. We don't want to reinvent the wheel where they've got something working. They've done it incredibly safely. They have an impeccable safety record over that time period. And so don't reinvent the wheel, but bring some new technology and bring some new techniques for building buildings and getting through the U.S. regulatory process that we've learned. So I think that's the complementary nature of the partnership. And, You know, Orano can work with anyone in the world. Everyone who wants to do this is certainly seeking their expertise, but announcing a partnership with us, I think, is meaningful in that they recognize the value we bring to the table.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was great to hear when you made that announcement. Really exciting stuff for your Wisconsin-based business. Yeah. And appreciate you sharing those insights. You mentioned in the release when it was announced that you hope to have an operational pilot facility set up in the 2030s. What needs to happen between now and then to make that a reality?
Yeah, so the biggest thing that needs to happen, frankly, is we need the government to solidify on its policy of whether they're going to fight this or whether they're going to embrace this. And, you know, I think there's mixed feelings in the government right now. And I think there's longstanding policy, mind you, not law, but policy, that the government should not do things to encourage civilian recycling activities. Now, the government has done this themselves for some time through Department of Energy and Department of Defense. They do these sorts of activities, but they're not really allowed to encourage the private sector to do this right now. And they're an essential component of the payment model for recycling nuclear waste. So the Department of Energy, there was a law passed many years ago that essentially said, as nuclear power plants burn waste, the Department of Energy will take the long-term waste products and dispose of them in a permanent repository. This was supposed to be Yucca Mountain. And the department hasn't been able to do that. So there's been this waste fund, though. People have paid, ratepayers have been paying into a waste fund for a long time. And so we wanted to understand if that waste fund will be available to support recycling. And in the near term, because DOE already has an obligation for all the waste that's sitting at the power plants right now, in theory, they should pay that waste fund down as that waste balance goes down, right? So as we recycle it and minimize the amount of material, the waste fund should go down. And so we wanna work with the government to establish a payment model that works for them. Over time, it should transition to be part of the rate base. So here's kind of the coolest thing about what we're doing. Recycling nuclear waste can be done again and again and again. Like, you can continuously recycle after multiple irradiations. And in effect, this can make nuclear energy renewable. And so I love that part of it. And when you look at the cost to ratepayers, you know, let's say after that waste fund obligation is released, it's a tiny, tiny increment. We believe less than 1% effect on ratepayers. I'm willing to pay 20% more for my electricity for renewable today. So, you know, I think if we can turn nuclear renewable and have that little effect on ratepayers at the end of the day, that'd be a wonderful long-term outcome. But in the near term, we really need the government to be a partner in this. And so we are building in Orano as part of this, a coalition to convince the government that if they support this, that industry is ready to act. And this coalition needs to include utilities that are willing to burn recycled fuel. It needs to include someone like us who's willing to invest in a recycling facility. It needs to include fuel fabricators who will then take the recycled material and put it back into fuel rods. And it needs to deal with the other 5% of the waste. And, you know, 95% is a great reduction, but what are you going to do with the other 5%? You know, we actually plan to do another step on the waste stream where we separate from that 5%, another maybe 1%, which is long-lived waste products that have no disposal path. We can actually, that's where nuclear fusion, core part of our story, comes in. We can actually use fusion to make those long-lived isotopes much shorter-lived. And then you have a short-lived waste stream that you can either hold in interim storage or you can do deep geologic burial with it, which is actually the solution we're pursuing, and is another announced partnership with a company called Deep Isolation that came out in the last week. We think they have a really great solution for that.
Excellent. Yeah, that's great insights there. Glad to hear about the path ahead. And readers of WISP Business may recognize that what you just mentioned. We reported on that recently, that other exciting announcement. Glad you brought that up. Hoping you can kind of share some details about that as well. You know, now that 2024 is underway, hoping you can highlight that other partnership and any other projects or efforts you wanted to touch on for our listeners.
Yeah. So, and just in closing on that, the idea behind building that whole value chain in the private sector is so we can go to the government, say the private sector is ready to act, and thus motivate the government to kind of put their heads together and find a solution from their standpoint as one of the key partners. If they're the only one, if they're the only piece missing, then hopefully they'll be well motivated to move on. In terms of other exciting Shine updates, really quickly, we're super, super excited. Our Cassiopeia facility, which is our large-scale lutetium facility, passed through final process validation. We have our first shipments going out to customers this week, so we're really, really excited about that. We should see that start to contribute meaningfully to our revenue stream this year and contribute to our growth model starting next year. So just really, really thrilled about that happening and lots of other great developments in the business. We're hoping this is the year that we turn from a net consumer of capital to a net generator of value. So things are really exciting here this year.
Well, that's great, Greg. And of course, as always, you know, there, we could spend a lot more time talking about any one of these things, but I appreciate you giving me the bird's eye view and kind of touching on some of the updates really quickly there. And glad to hear the update. Glad to hear about all the exciting news with Shine. I'm sure we'll reconnect again soon for a podcast or story to continue checking in. So yeah, just thanks again for taking time to come on the podcast and best of luck with everything.
Yeah, of course, Alex. And thanks again for having us.
You've been listening to WISP Business, the podcast. Now stay tuned for a word from our sponsor.
Hi, I'm Ben Miller from University Relations here at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and we're a proud sponsor of WISP Politics and WISP Business Podcast. Did you know that almost 80% of UW-Madison's in-state students return to live and work in Wisconsin in the years after graduation? And almost half of all UW-Madison alumni are current Wisconsin residents. That's just one way we're driving our economy forward. UW-Madison is working for Wisconsin.